You see in the bulletin that our Old Testament lesson, the text that is guiding our time of reflection today, comes from the book of Joshua. From the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, and then from the 24th chapter, first verses 1 through 5, and then verses 13 through 15. As I read these ancient words, and maybe they're words that are not familiar to you, listen for something being spoken into your heart and your life at this particular point on your faith journey. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses." Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Cana and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst. And afterwards, I brought you out. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, the journey continues today. Journey that began maybe 7 or 8 weeks ago. The journey through the Bible. Just think about where we've been over these past 2 months. We've moved from the promise of a holy land in Genesis to Egyptian enslavement and then liberation in Exodus, to the delineation of covenant requirements in Leviticus, to a generation-long slog in the wilderness in Numbers, to preparation for re-entry into the land, and farewell to the lawgiver, farewell to Moses in Deuteronomy. And here we are. The people of God are preparing to reclaim the promise made to Abraham as they prepare to reclaim the land. Joshua. Judges. Okay, the setting of the story is the ancient Near East in about 1200 BC. But as I have shared with you over the past few weeks, the events of 1200 BC are being filtered and remembered through the eyes of Judean exiles who are preparing to return to Jerusalem in the 6th century BC. It's been 600 years since their ancestors entered the land, and now they are remembering it and recording it and preserving it given their circumstances. They're about to re-enter the land. And so as I said last week, the perennial question burns in their hearts as it did in their ancestors' hearts. And the question is this: how are we going to live as a holy people in a holy land? Or as we discussed last week, maybe the question is really is this: how do we host the Holy One? How do we house the presence of God? How do we live that is such, that is the situation? Okay. With Deuteronomy behind us, we move out of the Torah, out of the Pentateuch, out of the law, out of the first section of the Hebrew Scriptures, and into the second section. And that second section is entitled, that's what I thought, the prophets. Very good, very good. And this second section is divided into two broad sections known as the former prophets and the latter prophets. And we will soon see that the latter prophets are subdivided into categories of major and minor. But don't worry about that now. Don't worry about that. Okay. The books of Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings comprise what are called the former prophets. And these books, along with the book of Deuteronomy, form what is frequently called the Deuteronomic history, and which moves the story along from the reentry of the land under Joshua to the loss of the land again in 2 Kings. And the central theological message of this section of Scripture is held in the deep-seated idea that faithfulness is rewarded and unfaithfulness is punished. It's called the Deuteronomic theology. And we see this expressed time and time again in words such as this: I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay. Do you know the word recapitulation? It's fun to say. Believe me, it's almost as fun to say as the word Deuteronomy. So let's try it. Recapitulation. Recapitulation. Hey, that's better. That's much better than the other services did. That was very good. Recapitulation. And the verb form's not bad either. To recapitulate. Okay, don't try this. Now, don't get confused here. A lot of people were getting confused earlier. I'm not talking about the theory of recapitulation, a.k.a. the biogenetic law of embryological parallelism. That's not what I'm talking about today. You know, sometimes you hear that referenced as ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. That's not it. That's not it, folks. That's something different. I love evolutionary biology, but I'm talking about something different today. Okay, good. Recapitulation. As the tried and true discernment theory of all discernment theories. And for lack of originality, I simply call it the recapitulation discernment theory. Better known as RDT. Got that? Not RTP. RDT. And that may not be the correct nomenclature, but we're going with it this morning. Okay. Now I know what you're thinking. Jay, how does the RDT work? How does it work exactly? And that's a good question. Let's review a possible scenario. Let's assume that you are at a crisis point in your life and you don't know what to do next. You don't know what to do next. You're not sure of the way ahead. You know, what should I do now, you ask? Well, it just might help to employ the RDT at this point. Now, please do not, the early services got this confused. Please do not confuse recapitulate with the word regurgitate. That is a different theory altogether, but we won't go there today. Anyway, recapitulation, the restatement or summarizing of past events, ideas, or conversations. And how the RDT works is quite simple. You begin by summarizing your story. How did we get here? And you recount everything up to this point. Then once you have that all figured out and you know your story and you claim your story, you ask the follow-up question. Therefore, I need to go here. Based on my story, this is where I should go next. And the path becomes fairly clear. Last week at the end of Deuteronomy, we left the Israelites on the verge of re-entering the promised land. They were mourning the death of Moses and looking with great anticipation to the conquest of Canaan. Now, I need to stop right there. The conquest of Canaan. I've said this many times across the 25 years that I have been with you, that the only reason we give our Bibles to our children is that we are fairly confident that they're not going to read them. Because if we thought they were really going to read this, we might have second thoughts about that gift. You know, to give such books as Joshua and Judges to those at an impressionable age. You see, these books, Joshua, deal with the conquest of Canaan and the settlement of the land. And these chapters are filled with great and excessive violence and copious bloodshed. It's not a pretty sight. Well, wait, I know you're thinking, it's the Bible. It's beautiful. Okay. Joshua 6, verse 20, following. So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpets, they raised a great shout and the wall fell down flat. So the people charged straight ahead into the city and captured it. Then they devoted to destruction by the edge of the sword all in the city, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys. They burned the city and everything in it. That's sweet. Joshua 7. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, with the silver, the mantle, and the bar of gold, with his sons and daughters, with his oxen, donkeys, and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord is bringing trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him to death. They burned them with fire, cast stones on them, and raised over them a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Joshua 8. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree, threw it down at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raised over it a great heap of stones, which stands there to this day. And just a taste from Judges. "Get up," he said to her, "we are going." But there was no answer. Then he put her on the donkey, and the man set out for his home. When he had entered his house, he took a knife, and grasping his concubine, he cut her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. That is the Bible. Sweet. You see my point. Be careful to whom you give a Bible. Okay. But despite this age-sensitive graphic content that pervades these pages, there are some extremely beautiful passages in there as well. And words that should give us pause. So don't just bypass these books. One such passage is found in Joshua 24, and it employs a recapitulation discernment theory. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst, and afterwards I brought you out. Afterwards you lived in the wilderness a long time. And when you went over the Jordan, in the land of the Hivites and Jebusites, I handed them over to you. I gave you a land in which you had not labored, towns you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now, therefore," that's the RDT technique at work. Joshua lays out the history step by step. And then he asks his compatriots the question, given our history, everything that has been done for us, where should we go from here? You know, how should we proceed? And then he offers them a little guidance. Should we revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness, putting away the gods that our ancestors worshiped beyond the river? And then he pauses and he says, "Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve." You know, it's time to make a decision. And then he gives them a bit of a nudge. He says, "I'll just tell you though, for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Joshua says, let's recap. Recap the story. How did we get here? This is our history. This is who we are. So what are we going to do next? The status quo is not a valid option. You're always moving forward in the story. Sound familiar? It should. How about this story? He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their souls? You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, it's no longer good for anything. You are the light of the world. No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it. We know the story. We gather in this place week after week to retell our story. How did we get to this point as individuals and as a community? You know, we employ the RDT. You know, we recapitulate our history. And not only do we rehearse a story, we practice it. All the things we do, all the compassion and mercy that we extend into this world, and through ritualized actions in this place. But at some point, we have to choose. We have to choose to have the story change our lives or not change our lives. To drive everything we do or not drive everything that we do. To make it our story or not our story. You know? Therefore, choose today whom you will serve. So every week we ask, what is our story? We're stuck. Where do we go next? And then I'm reminded of these words. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Okay. Hear these words in closing. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." But we can't go there yet. That's 1 Samuel. And that's next week. Hope to see you then. Thanks be to God. Amen.